Welcome to the Retirement Risk Show, the best retirement interviews and advice with Dave Hall. Learn strategies to help you reduce and even eliminate the risks facing your retirement.
Hello and welcome to the show. My name's Dave Hall. I am your host. Here we are again talking about retirement, talking about that longest self-imposed period of unemployment many of you will have in your lifetime. It could be 10 years. It could be 20 years. Heck, it might even be 30 or 40. It is what we call retirement. Very excited for today's show, but before we get into the details of the show, I want to remind each of you to go to my website, retirementriskadvisors.com. Here you'll be able to get access to our live training events. You'll be able to get access to my new book. You're going to get access to all the information you need to get safely through retirement. Today, I thought I would go back and cover a topic that we haven't talked about for a long period of time, and that is the ever-increasing national debt. I've done a number of shows on this topic over the years. It's been something that's been on my mind, especially since I started teaching classes to CPAs back in 2019, and I've consistently watched the national debt going up. One of the things that we talk about in our classes is the risk of future tax rates having to be higher than what they are today. It's one of the big risks that we cover. It's something that I'm very concerned about, and it all comes down to the problems that we're having with the national debt. Somehow it's going to have to be paid. As we look at where it's heading, I'll talk a little more about what I expect it to look like here in a number of years, but it is something that's causing a lot of headaches and a lot of problems. As we look out there, I had David Walker on my show at one time talking more about this. He wrote a couple of books, one, Come Back America, which was his first book back in 2008, where he covered the importance of the national debt and doing something to solve it. He identified it as a math problem, which it truly is. He doubled down with a new book in 2021, America 2040, Still a Superpower? Where he really addressed the national security risk that this was putting on us. So as we look at where we're at, right now we're sitting at about $33,711,000,000,000. Hard to even put all those numbers together. So we look at what we're at, where the big concern has come from my end. When I started teaching back in 2019, that national debt was sitting at only $22,719,000,000,000. Well, it's obviously gone up substantially during that period of time, over $11 trillion. That is horrifying, very concerning, something that we all need to be concerned with. As we look to the future, we're expecting by the time we get to 2030, this national debt to be sitting somewhere around $50 trillion. And if we look at the past and how quickly this has gone up, doesn't seem that far of a stretch to believe that we could be in that position 7 years from now. Not that far out at that point. It's our estimation, and based upon what David Walker has taught, estimation that those taxes may have to double to be able to get us back on track of where we need to be. Now, understand, we've been in tax brackets that it would require to get us to that point in the past. You go back to the 1970s, tax brackets that would look very similar to what we expect them to look like going into 2030, 2040 during that period of time. So it is something that we all need to be concerned with. For a long time now, we've really not seen anything being done by government to solve the issue. It gets talked about very little. It's something, in fact, as people talk about trying to solve some of the issues, not only with national debt, but Social Security and Medicare, that they often get attacked. It can be political suicide when you bring these items up, because oftentimes they will come with cutting back or additional expenses. The two things that America doesn't seem to want to do, to be spending less or be in a position where they're going to have to pay more to cover the cost of that spending. I do finally have some good news for you. It's not something that is passed yet, but it is something that's on the table that looks promising as we look to the future. It's the Fiscal Stability Act. This was brought about by Senators Joe Manchin, who is a Democrat from West Virginia. Many of you Republicans out there know that oftentimes he sympathized with the Republicans because of some of these issues. And then you've got Mitt Romney, the Republican senator from Utah. They brought the bill together, Fiscal Stability Act. The whole purpose of this is to create a commission that would include 16 individuals to help tackle this issue. There would be 12 lawmakers, 4 non-voting external experts, and they'd be appointed by the leadership from both parties in the House and Senate. The commission's primary mission would be to produce a plan to improve the nation's fiscal trajectory with bipartisan backing. So if we look at what their goal is, what they're trying to accomplish, this could turn into be a really good thing. And it's something that's been used in the past to help solve issues before, things like Social Security back in the 80s when they were having struggles with Social Security. Some of those other problems we've had over the decades, they've used these committees. Well, one to share with you a letter that was written by Maya McGinnis. She is the head or president of the Committee for Responsible Federal Budget. And I really like what she says here. I followed her. I reference her many times in the things that I teach because I find that she's very level-headed as it comes to finance. So part of the goal of her organization is to get us to a point we can figure this out. She starts her statement by stating the following. A fiscal commission holds real promise as a way to break out of the free lunch thinking that dominates Washington and put in place a comprehensive debt deal. Fixing our fiscal imbalances will not be easy. It will require putting everything on the table, focusing on policy over politics, and it will require a significant level of compromise. Anyone who is being honest knows this is the only way to resolve our fiscal challenges, which it really is. But as you look at some of the words that she used inside of her initial statement there, this is not going to be an easy process. We didn't get here overnight. A lot of division right now. We're going to have to really start working together instead of having the division that we've had, especially over the last 5 to 10 years. She continues, the commission has the benefit of bringing together a diverse group of lawmakers to delve into the issues, build trust, and provide political cover for policy choices that will not be easy. Our current political environment does not lend itself to these type of difficult choices, but the longer we wait, the harder they will be. Our high and rising debt is not only weakening our economy, but also compromising our national security. And this is the part that no one really talks about. David Walker was the first one that I really saw talking about this, saying, you know, it may seem nice that we went through the pandemic and many of us had the free lunches that came out of there, whatever that meant. And I don't mean reference necessarily the free lunch, but I guess if you did have kids in school, they did get some free lunch. School lunch was paid for by the government for a number of years, but you had the PPP payment. You had all these stimulus checks that kept coming in that created one of the largest periods of saving. In fact, I believe it's the largest period of saving we've ever had in the history of America. And yet now we got used to the spending. America's in a position that they have more debt than they've ever had. So what didn't solve any problems, yeah, put a Band-Aid on it, but it started creating this snowball that's going to create much bigger issues and, again, can become a big part of the security that we have as a country and the impact it could have if all of a sudden the dollar starts collapsing, we start having all these other fiscal issues where no one wants to buy our debt, could become very problematic because we will not have the money in the future to continue to pay for all those things that we do now. You know, regular household, we get to this point and we've got to declare bankruptcy. Banks get to a point, they don't lend us any more money. We declare bankruptcy. We can't buy any other goods and services. And unfortunately for many people, may get to a point where they're homeless or where they're in a position where they're living way below where they used to live. Well, as a country, it seems as we look to the past, we've been able to borrow, just get ourselves further in debt. And then it was okay. But we have a future here that it's going to get to a point if we don't do something, that's not going to look that way. She continues, there's no guarantee a fiscal commission will be successful. Special interest groups will raise millions of dollars and maybe even billions of dollars when we look at how much money is being raised to fight many of these things, to attack every idea. And many lawmakers will choose partisanship over problem solving. But a commission is likely our best hope to tackle America's immense challenges. Commissions have worked before, and they can work again. Historically, commissions have played pivotal roles in safeguarding Social Security, improving military efficiency, enhancing national security, innovating tax code improvements, and guiding the national discourse on fiscal policy. A commission can help policymakers build upon recent fiscal successes to show we can govern and make hard choices. Establishing a fiscal commission is an important step towards addressing our nation's fiscal challenges and securing the budget and economy for future generations. No one should stand in the way of trying to come up with bipartisan compromise solutions. What a great article by her. What great statements by her. Again, a lot of hope for me that we're heading in the right direction. It would be nice if we could get all this solved sooner than later. Talk about it not only from a national debt side and many of the things I teach, but Social Security and Medicare. We've done a lot over the last number of years to help stabilize Medicare, although it's not been successful. We're still going to run out of money in the program in 2028, but we've got a lot of additional taxes. There's additional payroll taxes you end up having to pay if you have income thresholds that exceed $200,000, $250,000, depending on your marital status. You've got investment taxes that are having to be paid now that are going into the Medicare fund. So we've got the extra taxes going there already. Social Security is going to have issues 2033. If they were to solve the issue today, they could easily do it with a 4% tax increase. Now, I don't recommend that they do that alone, but if they were to raise taxes 2% on the employee, 2% on the employer, they could fix the problem indefinitely, but that's not going to happen either. And the longer we wait, the 4% becomes 5%, becomes 6%, becomes whatever it is. We do expect both of those to get solved, too important to the overall not only stability of the individual families, but as a country as a whole. You can imagine Social Security beneficiaries losing 20 to 25% of their benefits overnight, going to have a lot of issues financially with your 401k accounts, with your investment accounts, your IRAs, these other things that many of us rely on to help subsidize these programs. So we do expect some solutions there, but the same thing here with this national debt. We've got to get working on it. I love the fact that they've put this act together. I hope it passes. Now, remember, it has not passed yet. There is a plan out there as well from the House of Representatives trying to help solve some of these same issues. So hopefully we do have enough power inside of there with the people that are putting these things together to where they can get some action going, get this committee put together and have them start really working on what it's going to take to get America to at least delay some of these problems. I don't know at this point we're going to fully fix them. When you've got a debt that's growing like we are, you've got a society that wants so much free benefits and so many other things that they want the government to pay for. Not sure we fully solve this issue, but if we can slow it down, we can get it to a point that we have more time to solve these issues, going to benefit all of us. We definitely don't want to be in a position where we're trying to leave this burden upon our kids. And right now, that's really where we're at. If we had to pay off the debt, and we don't see a point in history where this is going to happen, every citizen would have to come out of pocket $100,356. I know I don't have that money laying around that I would like to pay for me and my family. I assume most of you don't either. But that's what it'd take. Each taxpayer, $259,103. So we're talking big dollars here. Now, government can continue to operate to having that debt out there if they can continue to pay the interest payments. But if we get to 2030, that debt balloons to $50 trillion and interest rates stay up where they are, we're going to have issues because the interest is going to get so expensive. And please know, the only obligation we truly have as a U.S. government is to pay the interest on that national debt. We're not required to keep Social Security and Medicare and these other social programs going. We are required to pay the interest on the debt. Now, that being said, again, I don't expect those programs to go away. We'll get some solutions. We'll get some smart people working on this. But we individually need to start looking at this as well. We've got to be very careful. We get these politicians in there that want to solve these problems, and it's going to hurt a little bit to solve them. It's not going to be something that everyone's going to be all excited about, but we've got to be careful that we're not joining the group that's showing a politician trying to fix Medicare or Social Security and the other groups running ads showing that they're trying to push elderly people off the cliff, that they're trying to ruin their lives. That's not what they're trying to do. For most of these people, they just realize there's going to come a day of no return where the consequences will become far greater than they could be today if we were to put these solutions in place now. So we need to look at those that we're voting for. We need to make sure that we become part of the solution. That may be that we're taking some consequences. We're taking a hit, whether it's a slightly increased tax rates that would require us to pay money in to be able to do this, or whether maybe it's adjustment in age benefits. You look at something like Social Security. Maybe we're going to end up having to wait longer than age 62 to start getting benefits. Full retirement age may go to 69 from 67. But as we're living longer, as we look at the consequences of not doing anything, far better for all of us to take a little bit of an adjustment than to have the whole system collapse, which I don't expect that to happen. U.S. has come out of a lot of tough times. They've gone through a lot of issues that many other countries may have never believed would make it through. But America's strong. We're a good group of people that are working hard, trying to do our best. But it also means sometimes in order to win, we've also got to compromise. So we've got to give in to some of those things that we may not like. And I think we've got to be more careful, too, that we don't get so politically divided. I try not to talk much about politics here, but we need to be open to the ideas of other people, be willing to listen. Many times we can find a lot of great solutions from other people. Doesn't mean that by the time we get done that their solution ends up being the win and our solution ends up being the loser. May mean that we compromise and by the time we're done, we come up with a win-win solution that we can use to solve this. That's today's show. Hope it helps you better understand what's going on out there. I'll keep you posted as this progresses through. I will be very excited if it ends up passing and we can start seeing the action that gets taken here. I'll keep you updated. In the meantime, plan for higher taxes in the future. Plan for tax rate risk. Plan for all these other things that we talk about. We're going to use the best information we have today to get a plan that will hopefully get us through tomorrow. And if we get to a point that we solve it and taxes don't end up doubling, hey, you at least took the tax risk off the table today at a point that we don't expect taxes to be any lower. Even if they go up 10, 20, 30%, still going to be much better positioned now to take that risk off the table than waiting to the future and paying those taxes at higher rates. Remember, January 1st, 2026 is when taxes go up for the first time. This is when the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expires. So if you're doing conversions, trying to get money out of your tax deferred bucket, now's a great time to do it. If you need our help, please go to retirementriskadvisors.com. We're happy to help you go through the process of setting up your risk-based retirement plan that's going to focus on the various risks that you're going to face in retirement and helping you to reduce or eliminate those risks so you can get yourself into a much more safe and secure position. My name is Dave Hall. I've been your host. I look forward to coming back next week and addressing another topic that is going to impact your retirement and the risks you will face.
And that's today's episode. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to wherever you get your podcast.
The Retirement Risk Show is a production of the Retirement Risk Advisors. Our show was produced by Sierra Talin and Autumn Koenig. If you're a CPA looking for more retirement education, visit retirementriskadvisors.com.